You're listening to the Bloomberg Advantage with Carol Masser and Corey Johnson on Bloomberg Radio.
Busboy, bartender, ladies of the night. Grease monkey, ex-junkie, winner of the fight. Walking on the streets, it's really all the same. Selling souls, rock and roll, any other game. Working for a living.
And technology has certainly changed the way we all work, and in many cases, it's replaced some workers. But our next guest thinks technology is not killing jobs in the United States. He's back with us. He's Rob Atkinson. He's president and founder of the Information Technology and Innovation Foundation, based in Washington, D.C., but in our Bloomberg 1130 studio in New York on this Monday. Welcome back to Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Carol.
Hey, Rob, just remind all of our viewers exactly what your organization does.
Well, we're a think tank. In other words, we advise policymakers around the world, particularly on how technology is reshaping the economy and businesses and what they need to do to make it better.
What do you think policymakers don't quite understand about the role of technology in the labor force today?
Well, what I worry about is that too many of them are buying into this new meme that technology is responsible for the relatively weak performance of the labor market. And when you start blaming technology for things that it really didn't cause, then you stop supporting technology as well. You stop supporting policies that are going to make it easier to have technological innovation.
And when you say weak performance of the labor market, I got to kind of rein you in a little bit or question you, because we just got a jobs report that was pretty bullish on many different metrics. Wages are still not where we'd like to see them, and there still are people that would probably want a full-time job but don't. But it's a pretty strong job performance. So, you know, I'm just curious.
Well, especially in the last year.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But which makes it even more absurd when people, so many people today, so many economists, you know, you have people like Larry Summers saying that technology is killing jobs and it's the reason the labor market's not doing better. This is now what a lot of people, Krugman says this on a regular basis, that automation.
Well, it's definitely creating some dislocation.
It's creating dislocation. That's very, very different than what these people are saying. Brookings Institution in Washington just had a piece come out saying that we could have 50% unemployment. I mean, it's
pretty extreme.
Yeah, it's pretty extreme.
It feels that way.
And what's even worse about it is if you look at productivity since the Great Recession, it's the lowest it's been in 50 years. So this is the real problem. It's not that we have too much productivity. We don't have enough productivity.
So explain that. We hear we've got technology folded into more businesses than ever before, and modern information technology, you know, email, the internet, the web, we've got this all you know, folded into every kind of business imaginable. Why are productivity's numbers still so low, or lower than they were?
Well,
is technology making us less productive?
No, the productivity is not lower. The annual rate of growth is lower, so productivity always goes up. It never goes down. It's going up about half the rate it was in the first part of the 2000s, for example, and almost a third of what it was going up in the 60s. The reason, I think, is not so much that there isn't good technology. It's that the rate of investment in that technology is actually quite low. U.S. companies are investing about a third in CapEx, in machinery, equipment, software, computers, and the like, than they did 30 years ago. So companies just aren't investing enough. That's one of the big reasons why we don't see productivity gains.
What do we do, but with the wage situation? We talk about this so much about, you know, the middle class that seems to have disappeared, that there's a lot of folks in the higher income strata, and then there's folks kind of at the bottom kind of doing all of those service sector-oriented jobs that are necessary but don't necessarily pay a lot. So how does technology ultimately kind of raise the bar for everybody?
Well, the new Pew study that came out recently, a couple of weeks ago, on this question, what it found is that the middle class, if you will, is about 50% of the economy now, down from about 60. But about two-thirds of that were people actually going up, mm-hmm. and one-third were people going down. So it wasn't quite as bad as a lot of people said. Still in all, there's a problem with low-wage jobs. And I really think one of the answers to that is we do need a higher minimum wage. We haven't had a minimum wage increase in a long, long time. And there's a lot of good evidence that if you raise the minimum wage, you would give an incentive to companies to replace labor with technology. In other words, to automate some of those mm-hmm. jobs. Then, first of all, there's fewer people in low-wage jobs, which is good because they move up. And secondly, you can afford to pay people
if
more.
If they move up. They don't always move up. Well, and that's part of what I think we're going through right now, is that there are people who aren't trained for the jobs that are out there.
If you look at the number of people with a college degree who are underemployed today, it's actually quite large. They're with college education. There are a lot of people working lower wage jobs, sometimes part-time jobs, that actually have college education. If we reduce the number of those jobs...
But is that the bulk of middle-class people you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about people in low-wage jobs.
Low-wage, okay.
And so my point is there's a lot of people with skills who could move up if we just had more middle-wage jobs. We've got too many low-wage jobs.
Yeah.
And part of the reason is we haven't tried to use technology to automate them.
That's interesting. I mean, I feel like that's exactly the issue, is that it isn't that new jobs aren't created by technology and new high-paying jobs aren't created, but that the jobs that people lose, particularly people over the age of 50, and we see this in the statistics, they don't have the training or skills to get those new jobs. And it's not just people who are you know, with college educations working in the subways. It's people who've lost their job because of some kind of technological change on some level, and they just don't have the skills to get to the next the new type of employment.
Yeah, I mean, if you just look at what we do in high school, where, you know, 2/3 of scientific jobs in the U.S. economy are not even taught in high school, which is engineering and computer science, and not taught in most high schools. And the fact that most kids in college today aren't really getting sort of a basic introduction to computer science, which is now, you know, knowing something about computer science is important regardless of what field you go into. You could go into art history and you're going to need to know something in the future about coding and software, and you go into accounting and graphic design. So we do need to do a better job of integrating digital skills into the entire labor market. Absolutely.
Meanwhile, my 8-year-old came into my office yesterday and saw me typing on a Bloomberg terminal, typing white on a black screen. Says, "Daddy, what are you doing? Are you coding? Is that coding?" No, Daddy's looking at the market open in Australia right now. Is that coding? No, it's different.
That's funny, but she's interested. How great is that?
Well, she knows what coding looks like, right? Because my kids are getting that. But again, to my point, 50-year-olds I know aren't getting that and don't have that and are disadvantaged about that. And I don't know what we do in our society about that.
Well, we don't do a very good job in this society of giving people the opportunity to gain skills while they're in the workplace. It's interesting that the U.S. companies are investing now about 38-40% less in training their workers than they were two decades ago.
Hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, it's because of the same reason they're investing less in capital equipment. Why do you want to invest in worker training when the payoffs are 6-7 years and when the worker may leave and go somewhere else?
Right. Exactly. And there's been a lot of pressure on companies to cut costs.
Yeah.
They cut them. That's probably one of the first things that go.
Absolutely.
Because they can afford to do that. Nice to get some time with you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Thank you.
Rob Atkinson. He's president and founder at Information Technology and Innovation Foundation, based in the nation's capital. But we found him in our Bloomberg 1130 studio in New York on this Monday. All right, everybody, you are listening to the Bloomberg Advantage. Carol Masser along with Corey Johnson coming up. We've got an update on today's financial session. You've got stocks pretty much at their lows of the session. This is Bloomberg Radio.